Well, there it is. Your cue to know you're tuned in to Rosie on the House, the Arizona Rosie Rooster, waking you up with a good cup of hot Dunkin' Donuts, straight black coffee. That's the way we drink it. We drink a bunch of it just to get that day going. Good morning. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. 7 o'clock hour, we just kind of invite friends in here and visit about things that we want to talk about. You're welcome to join the conversation. If you're so inclined, the number is 1-888-767-4348. We've got a jamming show today. We've got a special guest in this morning that I'll introduce here in just a minute. 8 o'clock hour, we've got John J. Harper coming in, of course, with the outdoors segment. 9 o'clock. Is going to be open hour. We got a couple more Diamondback tickets to give away for Monday night's game with the LA Dodgers. I get to take something off my bucket list this week that I never even knew was on my bucket list.
You do. You've been working on that.
Stay tuned, everybody. Thursday night, I get to do the first pitch of the Diamondback Padres game. So I'm going to be the starting pitcher. I think they're only going to give me one pitch. And I don't get to get on the pitcher's mound, but I am the starting pitcher. Awesome. So Thursday night for that. That'll be fun. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're talking about job site safety, particularly you folks that are trying to get things done at your own home. It came home and rested at our house recently with a personal injury we'll talk about. And we'll talk about things you need to do to stay safe when tackling do-it-yourself projects in, out, and about, and around your house, your home, your castle, or your cabin. But right now, I'd like to introduce our guests we have in studio this morning. Ms. Kimber Lanning, the Executive Director of Local First Arizona. Good morning, Ms. Kimber.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. And you brought in a board member of your Local First Foundation and a good friend of the Romeros, Ms. Meg Smeck. Mrs. Meg, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You betcha. All right. Well, this morning's conversation all goes back about 6 or 8 weeks ago when I was up in Flagstaff at the Arizona Historic Preservation Conference. And I saw where Kimber Lanning was going to be the keynote speaker. And I thought, that's an interesting choice for a historic preservation conference. This will be interesting. And Kimber, your keynote speech nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And when it finished, I thought, I have got to reach out to Kimber and see if she's willing to come share some of those points with our listening audience. And I thank you so much for getting up early this morning and doing it.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Well, You did nail it. Let's start a little bit with the history and the story and the purpose of Local First Arizona.
Sure. So I founded the organization in 2003, largely for two reasons. The first one is that I thought we had way too many bright young people leaving Arizona. And the more, I'm a small business owner myself, and in my two businesses, all of them would go to college somewhere else and they'd do great things in somebody else's city and come back and tell me at the holidays. And I thought, wow, how could we keep more of these bright people here doing great things in our city? And so that led me to exploring what is today called placemaking. Okay. And placemaking is when people feel more connected to the place where they live, and they therefore feel more accountable for it.
Okay.
The second thing that was on my mind was ending the massive subsidies that we were giving to chain stores at the time. independent businesses can compete on a level playing field, but not if you're going to take our taxpayer dollars and give them to big boxes to come into our community. So at this particular time, Cabela's out in Glendale had received a $68 million subsidy, Bass Pro out in Mesa. Had received a $32 million subsidy. And I thought, we local businesses, we're going to have to link arms to put a stop to this.
Okay.
We believe in free markets. We believe in competition. But what is that? That is, you can't come in and plug our competitors with a whole bunch of cash and free land and then they tax abatements. You get a tax abatement. You walk in and pay your sales tax at one of those stores that has negotiated a deal with a city for a tax abatement. They get to keep your sales tax for 10 years.
10 years.
That's the deal they struck. Pretty shocking to most people.
Ouch. It just hurts as a small businessman to hear stuff like that.
It does. So Local First Arizona started with me just knocking on doors.
Okay.
Today, we are the largest local business coalition in North America.
Okay.
We'll have 3,000 members by the end of the year. We have offices in Phoenix and Tucson and Cottonwood and Flagstaff. And we have a number of initiatives, some of them aimed at consumers. Most people know us for the Buy Local campaign we run that is geared toward getting people to shop and support locally owned businesses. But we do a lot of work around B2B support.
Business to business.
That's right. And we do a lot of work around helping businesses become more sustainable, more equitable, more involved in their communities. And we even have an accelerator program for underserved communities that helps them become better entrepreneurs. We believe strongly that entrepreneurship is a pathway to prosperity.
And a lot of the folks that are listening right now are used to tuning in and listening something on the issue of home ownership and neighborhoods and house, home, castle, or cabin. And some of the points you made at that historic preservation were, I thought, just really, really relevant about where, and you're talking about bringing the kids home. What was the term you used?
Placemaking.
Placemaking. Mm-hmm. And making it someplace special. Kind of reminds you of New Roads, doesn't it, Meg?
You know, the best way to describe it is to get people thinking. Here in Arizona, 2/3 of us came from somewhere else. So if I asked folks to close their eyes and think about their favorite city or their favorite town where they've ever lived, most of them are going to come up with a scene that you feel connected to, right? It's a main street or a community where it's used to be really walkable, where you used to play as a kid. Nobody closes their eyes and thinks of a big, huge strip mall with a big old parking lot and a whole bunch of neon sale signs, right? And yet that's today what we are choosing to build. And so what I'm trying to do is help people recognize, if I asked you why you love Chicago, say you're from Chicago, why you love Chicago so much, you're going to say, I had the same barber for 40 years. You're going to say, I love all the restaurants and chefs. You might say, I love the walkability and the neighborhoods. And I used to know all the store owners went in the neighborhood where I grew up. All of those things are related directly to local enterprise. So you can take that person who lives in Chicago, and they're completely connected, right? They're rooted. They know the businesses, and they move to Arizona, and they throw that behavior out the window, and they end up in the big boxes, restaurants or retail, and they don't feel connected here. And that impacts Arizona economically. When people don't feel accountable for this place, they're less likely to vote. They're less likely to volunteer, to give charitably. It's really important that we make people feel really connected here, because then they're going to care enough to make it change for the good.
Now, how far back does your connection go to Arizona?
You know, I landed here when I was 9 months old.
Okay.
And my parents used to throw us in the van and travel the state. So by the time I was 10, I knew 10 Arizona lakes. And my whole family, we're all still here. We are rooted to Arizona, and the roots go deep.
Well, Arizona's a pretty special place. And you talked a little bit in detail about the relationship between buildings and local economies, which is kind of what you were going to on the big boxes versus the locally owned mom-and-pop shops.
Right.
And the difference it can make in a community.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm a fan of a brand new study that just came out. Preservation Green Lab issued a study called Older, Smaller, Better. And it really examines the relationship between older.
I like that. Sounds just like me.
Between older, unique buildings and the presence of locally owned business. And how that relates back directly to real estate performance, the number of jobs per block. The number of diverse residents in an area. And they had a lot of different ways that they measured those success stories. But I highly recommend that folks look at it, because it definitely shows that communities that protect and preserve their older buildings are performing better. In fact, if you took, for example, Pasadena in California, and you compared what we call Old Pasadena to New Pasadena, Old Pasadena is completely organically grown, funky old buildings, independent businesses, barely any parking at all, which, you know, the planners will tell you there's not enough parking, it'll never work. This place has hardly any parking. Compare that to New Pasadena, which is completely planned, all national chain stores and plenty of parking, and Old Pasadena outperforms New Pasadena 2-1 in sales tax revenues alone.
I would have to guess if they would take that same study to the most western town, Scottsdale, they'd find almost the same thing.
I agree. People are drawn to unique places. You know, when you're traveling especially, you don't want to go to the same types of businesses that you could visit in your own neighborhood. When you're traveling, you want to find those things that have the flavor and unique opportunities of the place where you're visiting.
Absolutely.
I think about Glendale.
what they've done the last few decades.
I always want to be there. I think about going there all the time. I watch their events and things. Where else do we have like that in Arizona that has revamped like that?
You know, all of our cities have little downtown nodes that they're trying to revitalize. So downtown Phoenix is off the hook right now. There are 80 new independent businesses that have opened up in the city center, largely because of the adaptive reuse work we've done. We can talk about that in a minute.
Yes.
Downtown Chandler has a great little hub. Downtown Gilbert, downtown Glendale, downtown Scottsdale, all of them have cool little downtowns. Even when you get out to Old Avondale on Western Avenue, those cities are recognizing if they're going to pay attention to this whole placemaking concept, they've got to revitalize their main streets. It's happening across the country. People love those little experiences.
I love the little art walks on Thursday night down in Old Town Scottsdale. I love Old Town Scottsdale. I'm not a big fan of how they've turned that whole little bar scene area into such a... I don't know. That isn't the most western town. There's a there's an area old Scottsdale that I don't even go into hardly anymore.
Right.
But anyway, let's talk about a term you used during that keynote speech, economic gardening. Now, let's touch on it. We've got just a minute before we need to go to break.
Sure. So we'll get into it more. But the general concept of economic gardening, it's an economic development tool that enables people to think differently about their the way they're spending their time and resources in growing an economy. And if you use economic gardening, you're really celebrating the existing assets of a place rather than focusing on attracting somebody else's assets into your community. So it's really a mindset that focuses on the greatness of the place that you live and growing and expanding on what you have. It's a concept that came out of Colorado in 2010.
I love it. We're going to talk more about that and a whole lot more with Kimber Lanning, Executive Director of Local First Arizona. Y'all stay tuned. We're talking Arizona, 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 and how it impacts you in your home.